Most times when we use the word judging, we don't really think a whole lot about prejudging, but we do look at judging people as a negative thing. We say it oftentimes, we shouldn't judge other people. And then, of course, if you're somewhat schooled in the Bible, you know that it's not as simple as that. We are to judge, but we need to be very careful about how we go about judging people. About this morning is what I would call prejudice. And of course, that right there creates a little thought in your mind as meaning something rather distinctive. As long as there have been enough people around to notice there are differences between us, there's been prejudice or people who prejudge. Although many of us accept prejudice as a part of human nature, that can't be overcome. That has no place in the life of a Christian. Let's notice some of its tragic results. The first thing you'll notice there, it says it causes Christians to judge others in an ungodly way. Now, of course, that is connected to what I've just said to you in terms of understanding, some of the nuances of prejudging people. I think most of us, if we're asked about it, we don't think of ourselves as being that kind of person, even though it comes naturally. I mean, there's a lot of different prejudices that people have. I mean, color of skin, where you live, is your hair green or purple, or are you bald? I mean, there's just all kinds of things about which we may make prejudgment about a people and decide that because that person's from this area or because the color of her skin is black or it's white, depending on how you're looking at it, we think we got it pretty much sized up. And I think as you look at this definition, it's a preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience. Prejudice against people, say, from different backgrounds. Now, as I thought about this during the week in my preparation, I've given consideration to this, that when we think about what it is to judge people, generally it's kind of lazy thinking. I mean, it's just very easy for us to just slide into it because we don't really want to get to know a person well enough, or we'd rather just sort of sit back and draw our own conclusions without really knowing the person. And I think that's where it gets wrong, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But understanding that we look at certain people and then we draw conclusions about people. Now, sometimes that can be funny. Oh, the way that person talks, they must be from the north, they must be from the south. And we laugh, and it's really, depending on the way you're saying it, I think most of us consider that to be very harmless. But at people and differences, and you start drawing conclusions about their character, that's a different problem altogether. And it's not acceptable for God's people to do it. Now, that was what was going on in James, and James spent a big chunk of words addressing this problem, where people were looking at one another as parts of groups. So follow with me as I read. Verse 1. "By brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism." In other words, you look at something and you draw a certain conclusion and you like it. And even though, as we know, you don't really even know the person. You don't know anything about their character. You just draw conclusions, which may be right, but it's not a good way to go through life. If you're trying to face people in the world like God wants you to face them, or to look at people in the world like God looks at people in the world. He says, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of his chosen angels to maintain these principles without bias, doing nothing in a spirit of partiality." Now, those are all slightly different vocabulary words that get to the same thing. Partiality, without bias, all that is speaking to the same thing. Now, why do we do that? And again, my conclusion is that it's because we generally are lazy in our thinking. We'd much rather just draw our simple, superficial conclusions about a person rather than taking the time to get to know them or learning about people. If you're looking at people as a group and you're drawing certain conclusions about those people, well, there are individual differences, obviously, within those groups, but if you don't really know that much about Native Americans, well, then you ought to do some reading about it before you draw any conclusions about those people. And of course, you can see how this all works. Now, it's not a matter of not judging what's wrong about things that are going on in the world. So don't confuse me in that regard. But this particular case here is where they're looking at rich people and they're seeing them in a way that really doesn't speak to the way we ought to be looking at people as God wants us to do. Listen, my brother, beloved brethren, do not choose the poor of this world, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? Now, that's one of the groups. And it's poor people. Now, he doesn't really explain it a whole lot. He just simply says, do you remember how Jesus looks at poor people? And would you look at yourselves and draw conclusions? Because a lot of people who are obedient to the gospel, in its purest kind of way, are poorer people. That's true in third world countries, particularly. You know, you kind of wonder, you know, why is it, you know, that there are more people who respond to the truth in those areas? Well, they're not getting a whole lot of satisfaction from the world. And so, like all of us, they're looking for some sort of meaning in life, and they can find it through Christ. But he says, you know, think about this for a second. Who are these poor people? And obviously, as you get to the end of the text here, we know that they're looking down upon them. And for those of you who are familiar with this passage, I'm not telling anything that you don't know. He says, but you have dishonored the poor man, continuing in verse 6. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? And if, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. And we'll get to the significance of that when we get to the end of the lesson. Now, you may look at this and say, well, isn't the Holy Spirit making judgments about rich people? Making generalizations? Well, understand that what is being presented to us is how they are, not how they look or what you think about them. This is how they behave, he's saying. Now, I think even the writer of this, James, the Holy Spirit, would draw the conclusion that, you know, understand that not all rich people are this way. But generally speaking, he's saying, would you not draw that conclusion? Not by a superficial way, but by the things that they do. Because God does not tell us not to judge wrong. But he says, be very, very careful about the people that you connect with and don't make judgments about them simply by the way they look or by the way they speak or by the particular place that they are from. You don't really know someone unless you know it. Now, again, the reason why we go with that is, again, I believe, and I'll say it again, it's because we're lazy. It takes a lot of effort to learn about a person, to draw conclusions about them. And so, he says, realize that when you are placing and pitting poor people against rich people, and you are, in this particular case, showing favoritism to them, you're not doing what a clear-minded person of God would do. They don't look at people that way. So are we different? Are people different? Of course they are. Are there good people everywhere? Are there bad people in every group? Yeah, absolutely. But lazy thinkers just make prejudgments and just run with that. And again, I think most of us would conclude that if we're committed to that idea, that even if you have a thought about how a person in that group would act, because that person, say, has lots of degrees, and so you draw conclusions about them, maybe really good, maybe not so good. But realize when you're looking at the true character of people, how they look, or your perception of them, or what you might be able to receive from them. And obviously in this case, you know, if you're looking at this from what it is you can get, Well, obviously the poor people aren't going to have a whole lot to offer us. If they're poor, we'll then just shove them off to the side. Now, this passage here is one that gets tossed around a lot, and sometimes it loses its zest or zest. But we are to be very different people. You know, we are to be transformed people. And this is very much a part of it. And again, I think I would draw the conclusion that sometimes people do look at people of different races and draw different conclusions. And it cuts both ways. It always does. And it's not that much worse when it's one group against another. And you have to be a part of that group. This is just the way it works. And sometimes it's not just lazy, it's the way we kind of defend ourselves as well. We like to have a certain amount of pride in who we are. And so I understand how that works. And I think you understand this. But remember, we're supposed to be different folks. And if we come from a certain region that has certain prejudices, then you and I have to grow out of those. It's not enough to say, well, that's where I'm from. Therefore, you bring the mercies of God to present your bodies in a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world. So as I just threw that out at the beginning, generally it's there. We all know it. And we may think of that, you know, in terms of, it's kind of a different category because it's just the way people are. It's just what we do. And we draw conclusions about those individuals that just aren't true. Just watching a little news snippet this morning, and it was a girl who was born without the ability to talk. I mean, she could make expressions and things like that. But she couldn't speak what it was that she had in her mind. And so she had this brother of hers who created a device, you know, for all that, you know, sometimes we have prejudices toward computers and things related to them. Sometimes they can do great things. And he made something for her so she could communicate. And the family said, you know what is so great for her is that most of the time, you know, we wouldn't be able to understand her. Now she can say, I'd like to go with you, you know, by speaking on the computer. Or, I don't want to go. And all of a sudden, she's got more power in her life. But she knows that in her spastic moves, that, you know, people are going to draw certain conclusions about that. And we know how true that is about people across the board. I know when Judy sometimes will be talking about people with cerebral palsy, and there's certain different kinds of them. And one of the things she's oftentimes quick to do with certain people, she will say, now you have to understand, they have the same brain components and the ability to work and use their brain just as much as you do. Because she knows that. She knows that people will immediately look at that person and draw conclusions. Prejudices that can be so damning and hurtful to people because it shuts them off. But we're supposed to be different folks. It's not enough to just say, well, I'm a black person, that's just the way black people act. Or I'm a white person, that's just the way white people act. That's not good enough. That's what Romans 12 tells us. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, when you look now at this idea of, okay, the first point is what? Causes Christians to judge others in an ungodly way. Well, some of you are familiar with the fact that Jesus does address this subject. He says, if any man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses will not be broken, are you angry with me because I made an entire man well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with judgment. Now, some of these people may have made prejudgment thoughts and statements about Jesus. That may be true, but what he's saying here is that he's out, he's done this miracle, and he's asking them to make a comparison here. Well, is it okay to circumcise someone, but yet at the same time not heal that person on the Sabbath day? Now, because of what Jesus was saying about himself, it's quite obvious that some of them have already made prejudgments toward Jesus. And we know that when people make prejudgments toward Jesus, they oftentimes will evaluate what he does without even really giving him any possible credit of being real and true. So that's what hurt them so much. But again, the reality is, he says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Do not judge by appearance. Why? Well, according to Randy, it's lazy. And I think I can really establish that from what we're reading in the scriptures. It's lazy thinking. And it also may be mixed with very, very poor thoughts about people. In John 8, verse 15, you judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I am the Father who sent me. So there's good judgment. Now, I trust God's judgment much more than I trust my own and yours. So that's an easy thing to see and to understand. But again, Jesus is saying, I look at people differently. I'm not a lazy thinker. I don't judge just according to the flesh. That's how they dress. That's how they look. That's what their hair looks like. Whatever it may be. I judge in a way that is true because I'm looking at the hearts of people. Now, there are times when, obviously, God made judgment in the Old Testament. In Leviticus 19 and verse 15, he says, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be part to the poor, nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor fairly. Now, this is going to work no matter where they are, because they're going to get around people when they finally get back to the land of Canaan, that they're going to have to decide things about how they're going to interact with those people. And God does not judge them in lazy ways. Obviously, he's God. He judges them by what they do. And so that's going to be true about me and about you as well. That we are going to be the kind of people who are going to be determined to not allow ourselves to justify our prejudices. Because that's kind of where our brains, in fact, some of your brains, I think, might even be working that way this morning. Because most of us do. We're always explaining these things about, you know, what happened to us, or my experience with that group of people, whatever it may be. That's why I look upon that group in a certain way. Is that right? Is that like a transformed person, or a person who's had maybe four or five experiences, maybe one or two, and then drawn conclusion from that? That's lazy thinking. But, you know, sometimes you have to realize that there are certain judgments that have to be made. But you better know, and I better know, about what I am understanding about the truth of it and not just going by the surface stuff. Getting back to James, it says, you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand over there and sit down by my footstool. Of course, which was a way of saying, you don't deserve to be sitting up here like I am. And I'm sure they'd convince themselves. You know, they probably had a few experiences with poor people. Kind of turned them off, you know. Well, you don't know, Randy. You haven't been around those people. I love that one. A lot of us have been around a lot of different kinds of people. Not just you. And we ought to still recognize that God is preaching to you and to me at the same level, because he doesn't want that out of you. He doesn't want me excusing it any more than he wants you excusing it. You stand over there or sit down by my footstool. And he says, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? It's not wrong because you look at a person and say, hey, that person's rich. Or that person's poor. But when you start judging that person's character on that basis, that's where we got a problem. We've just not been willing to exercise ourselves enough. Scripturally, philosophically, psychologically, all the lees and e's you can come up with. We just can't be lazy thinkers. We can't just be excusing ourselves in this area. 1 Timothy 5:21 says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of chosen angels, as chosen angels, to maintain these principles without bias, doing nothing in a spirit of partiality. Now, part of that is also that you need to preach the same things to people who are poor as well as the people who are rich. They both have characters, they both have sin, and they both need to do the things that are pleasing to God. So that's, you may approach people a little bit differently at that level, realizing that the gospel is for everybody. But it's obvious in James, as he's relating this, that people are looking at people who are rich as people who deserve better attention. Now, you don't see a lot of that, you know, amongst us. I've mentioned this before to you, that when we go to the Philippines and we go to a place to visit them and we walk in, we're usually kind of late for blah, blah, blah reasons, whatever it may be. It's been a long trip and they got the front seat all set up for us. Because this is where you deserve to sit. Now, I usually have to say something about it, but I know that when I'm saying it to them, they're sort of looking at me like, what is that guy talking about? But still, I understand that that's a tendency for them to do, and I think that's probably true in a lot of third world countries. But see, they don't know me. They just know that, you know, I should get special respect because of who I am or because of, you know, who are the people with whom I associate, whatever it may be. James just says you can't look at the way a person is dressed and draw conclusions about that. And I've seen this change. You know, one of the advantages of living a long time, relatively speaking, is that you notice a lot of changes. You know, that people had certain kind of hairstyles that people thought, oh, I just can't believe this. You know, and then with 2 or 3 years, everybody's okay with it. And something else comes along where people are really, really upset about it, and then we kind of change our minds about it. We just can't be lazy thinkers. God wants us to be people that if you're going to draw a conclusion, make sure that they're based on your personal experience with that person, not with other people who maybe are a part of that group. There is a situation when they came into the land of Canaan, though. God says, you shall make no covenant with them or with their gods. They shall not live in your land because they will make you sin against me. And this is not God making a prejudgment. God knows who these people are. And by the way, that's exactly what happens. So he says, don't associate with them. I know who they are. And God doesn't draw those kinds of conclusions about people based on how they look. It's by what they do. You know, it's not being judged by our skin color, but by our character, as Martin Luther King said. And so we strive to try to be that kind of people. But again, you may be so proud of your heritage that you're just not going to be able to shake it. Well, I'm just telling you, God wants you to shake it. Frankly, even though God makes judgments about me and about you, it's because he knows my heart. But look in Acts chapter 10 when Peter is speaking to an untouchable. the Gentile. He says, while talking with them, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people, and he said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But show me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. Why? Because we're all people. And of course, as we often say, you know, we all sin. And so we have this grand distinction between Jew and Gentile that had become a whole lot more than associating with people that are sinful, immoral people. It was just, we just do it because we've always done it that way. Matthew chapter 23, it's talking about certain kinds of people there. It says, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So be careful. When you start thinking more about yourself, and in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is talking about his observation of the Pharisees, and he says, this is their problem. This is why they won't accept what's being said, because of what they think about themselves. And of course, realizing that we are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Wonderful verses to preach from, but more significant probably to live according to what's said there. And I think this is why this is such a big challenge. And, you know, we live in a world, our culture is pretty fragmented right now. I mean, I suppose other people could have said this at other times, but I know in my lifetime, I haven't seen it ever filled with so much angst. So what are you going to do? What am I going to do? We're going to not be transformed, or are we going to be transformed to be what God wants us to be? In Colossians 3 and verse 11, he says, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is all in all. Now, this is the great thing about the, you know, what unity is all about. We've talked about this a few times lately, and this is one where we look at what did Jesus come to do? To illustrate and for all that people are all the same and they all need the salvation that comes through me. Doesn't matter who they are. He could have added all kinds of different individuals here, different groups, but the point is Christ is all in all, and he is in all. That's where it all ends. So we should never allow ourselves to think of anything less than that when we're making judgments about people. We just can't draw conclusions by the things that we superficially see. And I've often thought about that. What about times when you do things out in public that, you know, you look back on it and you say, oh man, I wish I hadn't have done that. Well, hopefully you think, well, it was wrong, and so you want to correct it. But a lot of times we're thinking, well, what are people going to think about me? They're going to draw conclusions about me from this one particular event. Now, again, simple to do it that way. Before we draw judgments generally about people, I hope people don't decide, based on their look at me, what every person is who kind of looks like me and lives in the country that I live. I want them to look at me in a way that shows a desire to look beneath that which is on the surface. And that's what you want for you. He says, now I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. And that, boy, that was a big, big problem for them. I mean, you may think after Peter's experience here, this would not be a problem, but it continued to be a problem for him. The whole thing about associating with these people who aren't like I am. And drawing conclusions about those people that aren't like we are. What we got to remember is what Jesus said when he was inviting people to come to him. He says, come to me, all you who are heavy, weary, and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's all, he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, what he was saying was, I know how other people will be looking at you. I think this, at least for me, I think is a proper inference. But I'll tell you how I look at you. If you are heavy in frustration, if you're hurting, I am there for you, all of you. So notice now, that as we get back to James chapter 2, because I haven't read verse 10 yet, because I think it's significant. In understanding, at least for me, this passage, he says, if however you are fulfilling the royal law to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, most of us say, what is it all about? Well, it's all about love. Well, in case we need a little bit of help understanding this, that's what James is talking about in James chapter 2. Let me help you to understand. You may not think it's being unloving to put people against one another or looking at other people on the surface and drawing conclusion. You may not think that's unloving. You know, you may choose to think is just trying to be a nice person to everybody you feel like being nice to. But it's always more than that, isn't it? It certainly is with God. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. See, I think they would be just like you and I would be. Oh, now, wait a minute. This isn't all that bad, is it? I mean, after all, you know, it's the famous everybody does it. But James makes it clear. Whoever keeps the whole law, you know, if you're thinking all this other stuff that you do, which is good, is going to cover up for all of that. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. See, again, you want God to forgive you. You want God to extend grace to you, just like I do. I get that. But he wants people to understand, this is serious what you're doing. I mean, there's a difference between rich and poor people. What difference does it make? Well, it makes a whole lot of difference to God. God has very high standards for me and for you. Matthew 6:14, he says, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So it can't just be grace for me. You know, if I want grace for me, which we all do, what he's saying is that you should be able and willing to extend it to others. You need to give them some grace in your life. You certainly want it from God. Remember now what James said. You're guilty of the whole law. This is one thing you may think you can just kind of shove out the law and then look at other things as being more important, but that's not the way it works. Jesus says, little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, and now as I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. Talking to his apostles there. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. There's this thing about, yes, God asks us to love, he asks us to forgive, but he asks us to level it in a place to where it is far above what most people might think is what is acceptable. God's looking for more. And that's what love requires. We think about what love is, we better not get satisfied with our own definition of what love is. Because God's the one who defines it. And he says, if you can't forgive others, don't expect it from me. If you can't love others as I loved you, I'm sorry, you're missing it. Prejudice. Prejudging people is what it is. And there's all kinds of reasons to make prejudgments about people, whether we're talking politics or whether we're talking racial issues. I get that. I understand it. But it is not only unseemly for God's people, it is just not a part of God's plan and shouldn't be justified in any way. So love requires a higher level of obedience. What? Based on service, not just getting it right. Acceptance? No. Or excuse me, acceptance, not just tolerance. Applying God's word, not just to hold up the teaching of a previous generation, but to apply a well-searched understanding of the scripture. In other words, there's this sense of thinking it's right to understand that God expects more of us what kind of naturally comes out of the culture. And prejudice is something that kind of naturally comes out of the culture. We just can't attach ourselves to it in any way. Because that's not what God wants from us. And that's what he was telling the people in James. Come on. Think about rich people. A lot of those rich people hurt you, he says. But you want them in a special spot? You know, poor people may get in your way and bother you. But I want you to understand that that's not the way God looks at them. And that's one of the great transformations that we all have to experience. Is how we look at other people. To try, and it's a lifetime exercise, we know this, to look at people as God looks at people. We're not God, but we are people created by God, and he knows what I'm capable of doing and what you're capable of doing. So much effort is being put into driving wedges between many groups of people all over the world, and certainly in our own country and in our own city. It's an effort, an evil effort, I call it there, in which we should take no part. So let's realize that this too is part of the royal law. And it's not anything you can set aside for somebody else. And go with your own background as saying, well, that's going to be okay with God. The beauty of extending the invitation is to know that as I extend it to you, and it's the whole idea of recognizing who Jesus is, that he is our Savior. It is through him that this rather unusual concept of forgiveness through the shedding of blood, but some that is worthy of your discussion and your learning. But nevertheless, that's what we're inviting people to. And you know what Jesus says? It's for everybody. Come on. Let's all realize that. It might just open up our world for us. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the command to believe is for you. No matter what color you are, the command to be obedient to him, to get the remission of sins through baptism, that's for you as well. And nobody possibly could turn you away, particularly if they're God's people. If that's your desire this morning, please come as we stand and sing. Richard.